It's Here and Now, broadcasting live from the DNC in Philly, the birthplace of some of the country's most important pieces of political literature, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And how fitting, the state is also one of the most politically diverse in the country. In fact, for many years, it was a highly sought-after swing state with its 20 electoral votes. Things have seemingly changed. Pennsylvania is bluer, but polls show that it looks like a toss-up, and that's catching the eye of both parties. Terry Madonna is the director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College and director of the Franklin and Marshall College poll. He's also something of a star here. People were calling out his name when we met yesterday on Broad Street in Center City, Philadelphia, as if he was just his last name, Madonna. And just down the road from us, City Hall, with its giant statue of the state's founder, William Penn, on top. We started by asking Terry Madonna about Pennsylvania's tradition as an important swing state, which many analysts have questioned in the past several presidential elections.
In 2012, the candidates were not here. They made about two or three visits. They spent about $31, $35 million on TV ads in 2012. But if you go back 2008, 2004, we were one of the top five most visited states of all the 50. And let's add one other thing. Well over $100 million in advertising. And if you think about it, this year, the polls in the battleground states, Pennsylvania, right now, Hillary Clinton has, let's say, 1.5, 2-point lead. We're one of the four or five closest states in the union. The Republicans made it clear that this is a battleground state. They intend to be here. And by the way, when Mike Pence came after he got the nomination, one of his first events on Thursday morning was to come to the Pennsylvania delegation and said, this matters, this is important, we're going to be here. Now hold on. Hillary Clinton is doing a bus trip after the convention through Pennsylvania. So her campaign has not said yet, this is a targeted state, but we think that's going to be very evident.
Well, and to explain that, because isn't it true also that Democrats have won this state in the last six elections?
That's correct. But here's the other way to think about it. Other than Obama's substantial victory with 55% in 2008...
Which was an historic victory.
Yeah. 52% was the highest that any Democrat has gotten, beginning with Bill Clinton in 1992. Bill Clinton didn't win a majority. Of course, Ross Perot was in those races. Al Gore wins the state by 3.5, 4 points. John Kerry wins the state by 2, 2.5. You see where I am. And this year, because of the so-called Rust Belt theory that's going on, that Hillary Clinton is having trouble with white, blue-collar workers in this state, mainly in the southwestern, in the counties outside of Philadelphia, southeastern Ohio and up in Youngstown, go to Michigan, go to Wisconsin. They're the big four that the Trump campaign thinks they can win white, blue-collar workers, and as a result of that, has an opportunity to win those states.
Well, staying with Pennsylvania, the western part of the state has been called, and I don't say this in a pejorative way, I'm just speaking politically, it's Pennsyltucky.
Well, the reason they say that, they're conservative Democrats. They tend to be pro-life, not exactly crazy about gay marriage. They're very pro-gun, and that's not untrue for two-thirds of Pennsylvania. If you cut Pennsylvania in thirds, stop at the Susquehanna River east, it's a very different state than west of the Susquehanna. Think about this. Pennsylvania has...
And you're talking about the Philadelphia area, really, largely, in the suburbs.
Philadelphia, I'm talking about the Lehigh Valley. If you go west of Susquehanna River, two-thirds of the state, the Democrats only have one member of Congress. And he represents mostly Pittsburgh and a little bit of Westmoreland County.
Well, so then you have, as you said, Hillary Clinton is going to make a bus tour. She's a daughter of Scranton.
Yes, she is. Yep.
But is Scranton embracing her?
Well, I think Scranton, you have to remember, Scranton itself is in Lackawanna County. That will stay Democratic. But there are counties surrounding it, like Luzerne, where you have a lot of the old coal interest, anthracite coal. You got Lou Barletta, the congressman from that district, who was the first member of Congress, I think, to endorse Donald Trump. And in the polls that have been done, Trump actually leads in Luzerne County. But look, Scranton is a different place. I joke and say The Irish who live there had an extra gene for politics. They love their politics. Senator Casey's from there. His father, Governor Bob Casey, is from there. Biden was born in Scranton and lived there until he was 10 when he moved to Newcastle, to Wilmington, where his dad got into the automobile business. Hillary Clinton's grandfather and father were born in Scranton. And here's the kicker. Hillary Clinton's father played football for Penn State. So I joke and say, if you play football for Penn State, you can't lose, you know, because of the popularity of Penn State with Pennsylvania.
What about women and Donald Trump?
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt in the polls that I've done and others have done, he has a huge deficit. And conversely, Secretary Clinton has a problem with men. But in this state, as in many other states, you know, there are more women who vote, and we expect Secretary Clinton to do well.
How do you see the Bernie Sanders part of the party playing out? A huge demonstration march today, Sunday. The WikiLeaks emails have come out showing how much the DNC disparaged him.
Look, they wanted Debbie Wasserman Schultz out. She has said she will resign after the convention.
And she's not going to have a speaking role at the convention.
That's exactly right. They've moved the platform probably in a direction further than Hillary Clinton would have gone had she not faced a guy who ran against her and got, 12 million popular votes to her 15.8 million popular votes. So there isn't any doubt that the Sanders people are a force here. They may even come to challenge the vice presidential nomination of Tim Kaine, of Senator Kaine. We'll see if that all develops. We hear a lot of this. We don't know what actually will develop.
Terry McDonough, one last sort of broad brush. We're standing here. We got the City Hall down Broad Street courthouse. Right behind us, courthouse there. And this place is silly with history, including a reminder, you know, when our forefathers knocked out the Constitution, they put in a lot of this weird stuff. They didn't make it a popular vote because they had...
Called the Electoral College. Right. That's exactly right.
They did it purposefully so that somebody couldn't overtake the system.
Look, if we go back to 1787, America was a different place. I mean, the founding fathers were fearful of the popular vote, the so-called masses, and so they wanted to ensure that there was a relationship between the states and the federal government. And as I like to say, back in the days when I was teaching the American presidency, this was not about the popular vote. We don't even today have a national presidential election. We have an election state by state by state. And there's been, as a pollster, I can assure you the American people overwhelmingly favor the popular vote. There we get into this bitter battle over the interpretation. Do we go back and do what the founders said? Do we literally use a literal interpretation? Or as the Constitution, has it evolved over the course of history?
So, as a pollster, you willing to make any bets on Pennsylvania?
No, I think, but here's what I'll say. Pennsylvania this year looks very competitive. In the polls that have been done now, there's a dearth of polls. I mean, I'll have a poll out right after the Democratic convention. But those polls, I think, will become relatively unimportant as we move forward. They're important to give us a starting point. By about August 15th, this will all settle down, and we'll have a better idea about the likely voter pool. We'll have a better idea about turnout, the enthusiasm of voters. But I'll say this, for the angst and the anger that the electorate has this year, both candidates are in record territory for unpopularity. But the signs are clear in the polls. Interest in the election, following the election. We could actually, notice how I put this, could have a higher turnout than we've had in recent decades.
Are the two most unpopular candidates ever?
Because people are following it. They're involved in it, even though they're probably voting against the other party's candidate more than they're voting for their own candidate. And at least that's been asking a question, and you know, in one of the national polls. And so, what do you think? If I'm voting for the other person because I like my person so much, because I don't want the other person to win. It's amazing, isn't it?